Matthew chapter 18. I'll start where we were last week and we'll read down to verse 35. Then Peter came, that's verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you
up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. Servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. The master of the servant was moved with compassion, released, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw that what he had done, they were very grieved, and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Father, as I stand here and as I preach from your word this morning, I pray, Father, that you would minister the hearts of your sheep, that you would feed your sheep, Father, from your word, that they might be challenged, convicted, exhorted, Father, that you might teach them, that your Holy Spirit might instruct them, Lord, that you would receive the glory and honor that is due your name, Father. Thank you that we could come this morning and be in your presence. Thank you that we could come and celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you that we can open your word this morning, Father. Lord, I give you praise for this beautiful day we have that we, Lord God, can learn from you. So, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we ask that you be with us at this time. Amen. You may be seated. Now, taking into consideration everything that we saw and read last week about forgiveness, or when I preached on forgiveness, I want to continue taking note there of verse 23 to start with. It says, Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Notice the word therefore. That word, as you know, is a continuation of a thought. So here we see this word therefore, which ties this parable to what Peter had asked of Jesus. How many times should I forgive? Seven times? No, 70 times seven. But then Jesus launches into this discourse, and he says, the kingdom of heaven is like. Now that much as like the parables of Matthew 13, if you can remember back there, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. The kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like that. And you could go back in your own time and read Matthew chapter 13, if you'd like. But this parable gives us insight then on how forgiveness is given in God's kingdom. This is how God's kingdom works. Thus, he says there in verse 23, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. By the way, notice in that verse that it's a proactive desire of the king to do it. You know, who's our king? Jesus. He wants to settle accounts, doesn't he? Now you think about that. He's aggressive. He's proactive. He wants to settle accounts more than you and I wanted to settle our account. God wants His people to know His forgiveness. It's much like 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter 3, 9, or as Alistair Begg, if you listen to him on the radio at all, he'd say 2 Peter. Or 2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy, or... It's a Scottish thing, I guess. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He is proactive in this. That's His desire, to save people. It's not man's desire to get saved. It's God's desire to save. Aren't you glad about that? None of us would be sitting here this morning if that wasn't God's desire. Now notice in our text, now in this parable, the enormous amount of debt this servant owed the king. A talent. Okay? So how much, let's look back at this text. He'd begun to settle accounts, verse 24, and was brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. Now you say, well, that's not very much money. And the reason for this parable is to make it a big sum. For a reason. A talent, a denomination of money, was both a weight and a coinage. So it's both used for coins, it was used for a weight measure. A talent. In general, one talent would be worth about 6,000 denarii. Okay, so do the math on this. A denarii being the average amount that a laborer might earn for one day's work would be a denarii. In today's market, if you would, or today's wages at $100 a day, I just figured that amount, some less, some more, depending on what job you got, this would mean that 10,000 talents would be approximately $4,500,000 worth of silver, or $67,500,000 worth of gold. It's a lot of money. Okay? That's a lot of money. Try to pay that amount back. And notice here, notice, really that's the point. It's impossible to pay that amount of money. The servant could never pay that sum of money. There was no way to pay that debt. He was at the mercy of the king. But notice the servant did not ask for mercy from him. Notice that? Let's go back here and look at this. The servant therefore fell down before him saying, Master, have patience with me and I will what? He didn't ask for the debt to be forgiven. He just said, give me some time and I'll pay it. What a ridiculous statement. You know how many years that take? You'd die before you had that paid off. Alright? So, here's the thing. It's an impossible sum to pay back. But the servant wasn't going to ask for mercy. He didn't ask for mercy. Just give me patience and I'll pay it. But that moved the king. Notice this. He was moved with compassion. And then he released him and forgave him. So, the idea of mercy didn't come from the servant. It came from the king. I could just see the king sitting there. Well, you ridiculous man. How? There's no way you could pay this back. No way could you pay the debt that is owed me. So the only thing I can do is grant you what? I feel sorry for you. I have compassion on you. I have mercy on you is another word for compassion. People, think of the debt of the sin that you and I owed God. There is no way to pay that. How do you pay that? How do you pay for that? Well, the only place that payment can be remedied is at the cross. I'll pay the debt myself. I have the resources and the ability to pay your debt myself. I'm going to pay for it for you. I'm going to grant you compassion and mercy. There's no way you can pay this. You couldn't even work your way to paying this off. I'm going to pay it for you. Man, this same compassion and forgiveness should have been exercised towards other people. The great debt that Jesus paid for us, we ought to have the biggest forgiving hearts when it comes to other people. But we don't. So I want to talk to you about the mercy of God this morning. It's because of this compassion and forgiveness of our King that we have our debt wiped out. How much do you owe? Now, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you have a huge debt to pay. And you'll never work it off the rest of your life. Ever. So you should run to the King and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Please forgive me of my debt. Now, when you belonged to the King, when you are His child, when He has forgiven you, because of your faith in Jesus Christ, how much debt do you have? None! Praise the Lord! What's the point of celebrating the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord if we still have debt? It's a fruitless endeavor. Because if it's telling him that the sacrifice of Christ on the cross never worked. But it did. It did. Let's go to Psalm 108. Oh, if you're a student of the Scriptures, you read about mercy quite a bit. So I tried to stay away from those ones that you normally would go to, just to pique your interest and you don't fall asleep in the pew, which you shouldn't do anyway, because you'll notice in the bulletin, I'm going to keep trying to put that in there. I hope you've prepared your heart to come in the presence of the Lord today. I hope all week you've been studying and praying and said, I can't wait. I can't wait to hear from the Word of God, whether that's on a Monday or a clear to a Sunday. That should be your heart every day. So, Psalm 108, first four verses. Oh God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Awake, lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn, and I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your mercy is what? It is great. Above the heavens, and your truth reaches to the clouds. I love the song that George led us in about mercy. I never talked to the song leaders about what I was going to preach. That's amazing that God does that stuff. About mercy. See, His mercy is great. David said, the earth is full of His mercy. That was a quote out of Psalm 119, verse 64. You can go there if you'd like. The longest psalm in the Psalms. Psalm 119, verse 64. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Well, if the earth is full of His mercy, where do you see it? You don't have to answer that. But just think, where do you see the mercy of God? If the earth is full of it, we should see it everywhere. So let me ask you that. How have you saw the mercy of the Lord this week? Okay, think about that. Just meditate on that. Everywhere we look, we see the mercy of God. Certainly we can look at our own life and see the mercy of God. The Apostle Paul tells us that God is rich in mercy. In Ephesians chapter 2, go back to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy. Now you think about a king that has everything that you could possibly imagine. We get into Ephesians chapter 1. If we were to go back there, it says, we have been what? Blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. How much does this king have? To where it says in his scripture, God is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Now we think wealth is gold and money and things. God's interest is not in gold. That's nothing to him. He's rich in mercy or compassion. I'd rather have compassion from God any day than a gold bar. You could have all the riches of the world and not ever know the mercy of God. What a sad thing. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. When I was dead in my sin, his mercy was great towards me. What? You know what that means? I don't have to get perfect for him to desire to show me mercy. He wanted to do that before he ever made me that way. Oh boy, keep going in this verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Oh, in 2 Corinthians, Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, he would say that God is the Father of mercy, or mercies. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. So where does mercy originate from? The Father of mercies. It was God the Father. It's part of his character. God has manifest his mercy in many ways. We're going to be into the Psalms a little bit more. Let's go back to Psalm 86. We think of how his mercy is manifested towards us. Psalm 86, first 5 verses. Bow down your ear, O Lord, and hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Rejoice the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. See, he manifests his mercy in bringing redemption to all who would believe in Christ. We can see that in Psalm 130, the first 8 verses, or I think all of the 8 verses. Psalm 130. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let my ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. Let me stop there. Why does God forgive people their sin? So you would fear him. Now that's an incredible statement. We would fear him. We'd be in awe of him. We'd be awestruck with him. We'd reverence him. It also puts a general fear into us. A God who can forgive sin is even a God who you don't want to trifle with. If the Lord should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. Look how much God redeems, abundantly. And he shall redeem Israel from some of his iniquities, all of his iniquities. great passages. Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. You'll notice it says here, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Again, He manifests His mercy in bringing redemption to all who would believe upon Christ. He manifests His mercy in giving us life, breath, and all things. He's done that for us. Matter of fact, in the book of Acts, when Luke was penning the book of Acts, he says, Acts 17, verse 24, God, who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, since He gives to all life, breath, and all things. Does He show you mercy? Does He show the wicked mercy? Yes, they eat, they breathe, they have life. God's mercy is seen everywhere all the time. And sometimes we're so blind to how God, how merciful He has been. He manifests His mercy and His care for us. If you read Matthew chapter 6, it's in your bulletin. Go read that. Don't worry about today. What He wants you to do is what? Give Him praise. Give Him thanks. But don't worry, because His mercy shows us in that chapter that He cares for every little detail. If He cares for the lilies of the field, doesn't He care for you? If He cares for the sparrow, won't He care for you? He didn't shed His blood for the lilies of the field. He didn't shed His blood for the sparrows. He shed His blood to redeem you. How much more valuable are you? And so that passage would say, therefore seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness and all these things. Everything you need will be added to you. Why? Because He's a compassionate, merciful God. He already knows what you need. And so His mercy is also shown in His preserving and blessing us. And as I already used that verse, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. You can go there if you want, but let me go ahead and read that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. What a great act of mercy in Him doing that. And His mercy is manifest in forgiving and saving us who are sinners. Romans 5, 8 through 10. You can turn there to Romans chapter 5, verse you know, or should know. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Can you see how He manifests His mercy in forgiving and saving us who are sinners? You can go to 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 and 9, and you can read that passage. If that doesn't show the mercy of God, His constant care even for us. Verse 7 through 9, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please see the mercy. See the mercy that God has bestowed upon us. Mercy is the necessary balance to righteousness. God is righteous, but if He were only righteous, He would be only hard, and never could man have access to Him. You could never get that perfect. Righteousness is a definite attribute of God, but so is compassion. People who push nothing but righteousness without compassion or without mercy tend to be hard, cold, so judgmental that there is no room for anything except perfection. Righteousness, perfection has to be tempered with what? Compassion and mercy. That's what God did. You see that? Mercy softens righteousness with compassion and understanding. You will be perfect, but you can't be perfect. So I will show compassion and show you mercy. And I will make you righteous. That's what God has done. Mercy is the thou shalt not, tempered by the voice of Calvary saying, Father, forgive them. Let me say that again. Mercy is the thou shalt not, tempered by the voice of Calvary saying, Father, forgive them. That is such a great way to say that. Mercy is part of the character and nature of God. So let that resonate in your thoughts this morning. Because let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 through 11. Now listen to what it says here about the Lord. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for Himself. By the way, as Christians, you are included into that. That ought to excite you. I've been chosen by God. That's what the Word says. Boy, to this day I can't figure out why people fight that so much. Instead of falling on their knees and saying thank you. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for Himself. A special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. That was true about Israel, and that's true about the Gentiles that joined in belief in Christ. Amen? Now how does God see you? Look at this. Look, you talk about mercy. A special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. How much value do you have because of the mercy of God? Then Lord, the Lord did not set His love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all the peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because He would keep the oath which He swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out of a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. That could be said the same for us. He's redeemed us. Not out of Pharaoh's hand, but the bondage of sin. Which Egypt was a symbol of the world and all its wickedness holding Israel there. That was the Old Testament picture of Him setting them free from bondage and took them to the promised land. Christ has set us free from our sin and we are headed to the New Jerusalem. Amen? I mean, that's exciting stuff. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and, look at this, and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. Do you love Him? You keep His word? Because that will affect your children's 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 children and so on. And He repays those who hate Him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates Him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which I command you today to observe them. Wow. His mercy enables God to be sensitive to our distress, to our pain. Psalm chapter 4, verse 1. Back to the book of Psalms in Psalm 4, 1. The psalmist would say it this way. That psalmist, of course, being David. Hear me when I call, O Lord, of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How many have ever been distressed before? And you cry out to Him, what will you get? Mercy. Just like David. Mercy. Psalm 6, you're right there, first two verses. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long? God's mercy does a great thing. Go to Psalm 25. Deters punishment for sin. Psalm 25, starting in verse 4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness. For they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me. I don't want God to remember my wickedness. I want Him to remember me through His mercy. How about you? I have 54 years. Not all those are walking with the Lord. I don't want them to remember that. Even as I'm walking with the Lord, I haven't done things right. I don't want Him to remember that. I want Him to look at me through His mercy, just like you do. According to your mercy, remember me. For your goodness sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore He teaches sinners in the way. The humble He guides in justice. And the humble He teaches His way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. All of them. Not some of them. All the paths of the Lord. Wherever the Lord would go, He goes in mercy and truth. Oh, I love that. There are mercy and truth to such as keep the covenant and His testimonies. Not for everybody. Those who keep to His word. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Some have trouble really separating mercy from grace. Grace carries the idea of undeserved or unmerited favor. It is God's provision when a person does not deserve it. It is God's blessing to those who cannot earn it and have no reason to expect it. That would be grace. Mercy carries somewhat of a different idea, really, with a negative view on God's actions towards us, in that mercy is not giving us what we deserve, in withholding from us what we have earned. Let me read that again. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve in withholding from us what we have earned. We earned death. We earned justice. We earned wrath. So He has chosen by His mercy not to give us that. You know, with all the argument over choice these days, I'm glad God made one. And He didn't ask me. The mercy of God that has brought forgiveness and regeneration and salvation to those who believe upon His Son is reason for us to praise Him this morning. We ought to be praising Him and praising Him and praising Him. We should have a praise, as you can go through the New Testament, of thanksgiving. We ought to be thanking Him. Paul talked about that. We ought to praise Him because old things have passed away. All things have become new. He had God's mercy towards His sheep is renewed even every morning. As Jeremiah would say, as we might even see in Hebrews chapter 10, if we go there, it doesn't say it that way, but it says it this way. Hebrews 10 verse 22-23. It would say, let us draw near with a true heart, a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. It would go on to say, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So let us show mercy. So here it is. What does God expect from those who are of His kingdom? If His compassion and His mercy has been that way towards you and I in His kingdom, He expects us, if not demands or commands us, to show the same compassion, the same mercy that He's shown us to other people. That's what He expects from us. If you went to the back to the Beatitudes, He would say in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, just a short verse here, but He says in verse 7, let me get to Matthew. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain what? Who wants mercy from God? I do. So what is God? If I want His mercy, what is this in God's kingdom? These Beatitudes are the attitude of the kingdom of God. The attitude that those who reside in God's kingdom should have. The attitude that they will have. The attitude He expects them to have. Okay? So if that's true, blessed are the merciful, for they shall what? Obtain mercy. If I want mercy, I have to give mercy. Has God been merciful to you? Do you realize the great sacrifice given for you this morning? Do you realize the awful wrath of God that you have avoided because of His choice to give you mercy, even when you don't deserve it? Can you see that without God's mercy, there would be no way for you to stand before Him? So, the only reason we can do what we did this morning, and take this bread and the cup, and remember His death, burial, and resurrection till He comes, is because of His mercy. Walk out of here today thanking God that He showed you mercy. Father, thank You for this time in Your Word. I pray, Father, for Your sheep. I ask, Lord, that You would cause them to know You in a deeper and greater way. Father, I pray that You'd give them a desire for Your Word. A deep desire and hunger to know You from the Scriptures. I pray that when they walk from this place, Father, they will give You thanks and praise for the things that they have seen in the Word this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.